Let's start the Racing Rewind. After it's all done and dusted, the Correct Weight Racing Review. Here's Warren Huntley, Dean Lester and Brendan Delaney.
Finals day at Flemington yesterday, the focus of our review. We'll touch on Epsom Derby night with the Oaks also run in the UK overnight. Enable running at Sandown in the UK overnight leading into tomorrow as I welcome in Dean Lester to the program. Good morning to you, Dino.
Yeah, good morning, Warren.
Just wasn't sure we'd be able to have you this morning. There was such love for you on social media yesterday. Articles in the paper, Rammers Ruffy, Formula Bets, winners coming left, right and centre. I thought you might have taken it to a higher level. We might be able to get you this morning.
Oh, well, you know, you had to go through my management, but that was okay. No, we've been on Media Street this weekend, but no, it was a good day yesterday. And I think, you know, certainly the first half of the program, punters had an absolute fill up with the horses running true to their form that they'd run through the heats. There was a bit of value later.
The way that it pans out, Brendan Delaney, as I welcome you into the program, a lot of the horses race together, so the form lines in general are pretty well exposed on finals day. And as Dino outlined, they ran very true to form early in the program. Can be a test of your discipline finals day to see how you are at the at full time as opposed to half time.
Yeah, certainly can be. The punters were right on early. Dino was right on throughout the day, so well played to Dino, giving out the tits before the races yesterday. They were bang on the money. Yeah, it was interesting day's racing, as we outlined early on in the day. Favourites had their way, but later on there was a bit of value there, and there'll be a few hard luck stories to tell out of yesterday as well, particularly through the Winter Championship.
One of the highlights of the day was that Winter Championship, and a horse that doesn't have a hard luck story was Ciccone. He rode the speed, he was fit, backing up from a run over 2,000 metres. Dan Steckhouse, who's had a breakout season, was aboard for Nick Ryan.
They've got to Holbein. Ciccone took the front at the 300 from Mr. Marathon Man. Plenciel over towards the far side, trying to run on from Romance at Chapel City. Heptagon badly bailed away. And then Polly Gray, but Ciccone's off and gone. 100 metres to go as four in front. Ciccone with a massive lead from Polly Gray. Plenciel, Victoria Star. But Ciccone has blitzed them. Polly Gray second. Victoria Star third from Plenciel, Vacillator, Reykjavik.
Spoke to Nick Ryan earlier. Great victory for him, an important victory with a relatively small stable, winning a stakes race and with a horse that he's inherited from previous trainers, Brendan, and it was a terrific performance yesterday. What was your take on the Winter Championship final?
Yeah, it was a race run at a really solid tempo. Holbein got out and did his thing, and then Mr. Marathon Man did his thing and pulled his way up around the outside. That set up a pretty good tempo, and just stalking them in behind Ciccone, and that those miles in the legs, 2,000 back to 1,600 metres, really played into his favour yesterday. He was rock hard fit. He was right behind them when it was time to go. He went. Those in behind didn't have the greatest deal of luck. Heptagon ran into a dead end, as did Never Again. Vacillator never got clear. The horses that filled the placings were the horses with clear air around the outside. Polly's Grey and Victory Star, they were all able to come with unimpeded runs around on the field, and then wider out off their backs. You had Reykjavik making ground from a long way back with a big weight, but then there was that cluster of horses that we thought were probably going to be in the finish that just ran into traffic jams on the back of horses like Romancer and Plonciel, and that cluster that were just off the speed. Horses back in the field tried to stay in, and they just ran into a roadblock pretty much at about the 200. Would they have beaten Ciccone? Probably not, but you would think a horse like Heptagon and Vacillator would have finished much, much closer had they got their chance to come through the pack.
It's a tactic we've seen, Dino, in Sydney. Trainers like Chris Lees, Joe Pride, Chris Waller come to mind, with horses having runs at 2,000 metres and then coming back to the 1,600 metres into feature or semi-feature races. What did you make of the performance of Ciccone yesterday?
Yeah, it was terrific, Warren, and great imagination used by Nick Ryan. Probably a breakout day for him as a trainer to do something a little bit outside the square. And last week, you know, I was surprised how slowly he went in front over 2,000 metres, but it's all part of the plan. If he'd won last week, it would have been a bonus, but yesterday he was on the back up. He was fit, and he enjoyed a beautiful run courtesy of Dan Steckhouse and won well. Brendan's outlined the case of those behind Heptagon. He was getting close to his top, but he was winding up with the weight and just had to stop in his tracks. Never again, certainly, was the same. Still don't know if he runs 1600, but never got a chance to yesterday when the race was there to be won, and Vacillator too. But he had a big margin on them at the end, Circoni. And as I said, I think the highlight of the race, as much as anything, was the training performance of Nick Ryan.
We came up with a bit of a plan for Mr. Marathon Man and a few other troubled gallopers last time they raced. What was your take on Mr. Marathon Man's performance?
Oh, he went around them, got outside the lead, and he wasn't. I mean, if you'd backed Holbein, he wasn't, you know, too much of an inconvenience, and I just thought he'd lay out a bit more on straightening and Plantiella get through a bit neater, but he sort of was there just battling on. And I think Plantiel ridden that little bit closer and would have been better on the outside of them. He had a legitimate excuse as well, but that was a bit of the case of the horses behind. But yeah, it was a big margin that Circoni put in them. It's hard to know if those horses with bad luck would have got to actually catch him, and I doubt it very much.
Horses grand final day and probably due for a short break sooner rather than later. But is there anything out of this race that you think might be able to be profitable in the weeks ahead?
Well, you just have to monitor where Polly Gray bobs up. But I thought that was a good run second up. Yes, she had the clear air, but made really good improvement off that first up run, which was adequate without being outstanding. And taking on the males yesterday, she's run well to get that black type placing in Melbourne. And and Victoria Star, we know that he'd been held up for week after week trying to get a run. Well, yeah, he's run very well yesterday, and because he's missed a bit of racing, there's probably a bit of petrol in the tank for him if they want to press on.
What about you, Brendan? If we're looking ahead, given the circumstances that Dean's just outlined, is there one or two in the race that you think might still have some petrol left in the tank?
They're all sort of coming towards the back end, aren't they? This was probably grand final day for most. Polly Gray, as Dean said, is the one with the least amount of racing, only being second up yesterday. You would think she could pop up somewhere. Where she pops up along the eastern seaboard remains to be seen, but you would think she could bounce out of that and win a race in the not-too-distant future.
Stewart's report highlighting effectively what Brendan outlined. There was a few that were held up, but ultimately Circoni riding the speed, kicking away and winning dominantly, the best performance on the day in the Winter Championship final. The day got off to a start down the straight, 1,200 metres for the two-year-old. Sense of Honour was a short price favourite for Mick Price, Mick Kent Jr. and Ben Malham.
Onto the course proper, 450 out at Sense of Honour and Jabali Ridge. I love the game. Three quarters of a length away. Third, Ultimate Man stoked up behind them. Savannah Cloud runs on, then Stand Off. They quicken at the 300 and Sense of Honour given its head. Two lengths, I love the game. Followed by Savannah Cloud, the outside. But the front runner is the favourite, Sense of Honour. About a length and a half, Savannah Cloud, who's trying to stretch it. But it's Sense of Honour who's going well. Sense of Honour punched out. We'll see it out. Sense of Honour by a half length, Savannah Cloud, three length Standoff, followed.
Oh, Dino, you're hoping to get two legs of the formula bet up this week. We are able to get the first leg up here with Sense of Honour. From an inside draw down the straight can be a little bit problematic. What did Ben Malham do here that was able to record the victory?
Yeah, well, he didn't get crossed straight away, which was probably the biggest worry if they did come to the inside, and he was able to, you know, stand his ground, hold the territory. And she's very determined filly. You could see fair way out. She had the ears back, you know, from a fair way out, and really wanting to get the job done. And she got the job done yesterday. If that was her pattern, you'd say that was unimpressive. The time wasn't really there, and she just grounded out. But I think she'll go better in a faster race and coming from off the speed. And I think that would be the plan with her going forward if she was to win a decent race. But yesterday she got the job done, and it was smart tactics, really, because the only thing that, you know, could have beaten her really, I think, was bad luck, because she's the most progressive horse in that race.
Mick Price commenting after the race, Brendan, on racing.com, that effectively what Dean outlined, that that's probably not going to be her racing style, but he basically left it with Ben Malham, because a lot of it had depended on how she jumped and what the horses did around her, and he basically just seized control and rode a lot the best horse.
Yeah, the horses tour outside Jabali Ridge. I love the game, Savannah Cloud, to an extent. If they wanted the lead, they could have probably put the foot down and took it. But maybe Jabali Ridge with the big weight, they weren't really wanting to put him under too much pressure in the early part of the race. And Ben was just left there to the inside, and he played the hand he was dealt perfectly. As Dean outlined, determined. I think that's a good way to sum her up. She wasn't probably overly comfortable left out there by herself, but she wanted to get the job done. She was really putting in, thought Savannah Cloud was good. Standoff's a nice horse. When they really quickened from the 300, he was just left a little bit flat-footed, but I like the way he's been getting through the line since his win here at Flemington. Sandown, he was good late. Similar situation there where he was just out-sprinted a little bit, but he was taking ground off late. You think he's going to be a horse over a little bit more ground that'll pick one up soon. And Jabali Ridge, I just think he's going to need somewhere where he can get some weight off his back. Nick Price in that interview outlining yesterday, he's only a little horse and the weight might be just starting to get to him.
Savannah Cloud, you know, probably not an ideal start, and I think Philip Stokes outlined as much in the media that it was just a race that he probably couldn't pass up, but not ideal to get there as quickly as he did, but worked home well, and there's probably a bright future, I think, for Savannah Cloud in time, and probably at least a couple of weeks between runs, if not a little break.
No, I think he's going to have a little break, but he's earned good money at his two runs, which will probably help him maybe get into races at the start of spring and see where he fits in. And it's just interesting how well supported he was yesterday on the 7-day backup. The punters, or the algorithm punters, they love those backup horses, and he was one yesterday that was very well found closer to race time and ran really well. I think Brendan outlined the case for Standoff. Both Sense of Honour and Standoff will probably meet through the spring over longer trips. I think she's doing a good job, Standoff, but she'll be better over a bit further as well.
Ben Mallum back in the winner's door with Sense of Honour in the first for the Mick Price and Mick Kent Jr. stable. He was partnering up with Kieran Maher and David Eustace aboard Lord Belvedere in the staying race, the Banjo Patterson final, the second.
Nell Farris has taken Sasko at the 400. Lord Belvedere three lengths away, running on. Chapada goes back to the inside. So the leader, El Farris. It's a long straight, though. At the 300, a length and a half. Chapada back on the inside. Lord Belvedere coming too. It's El Farris three quarters. Lord Belvedere, then Chapada, Sasko. El Farris at the 150, grabbed by Lord Belvedere. El Farris and Lord Belvedere, stride for stride. El Farris won't give in. El Farris just from Lord Belvedere, who has another go. Oh, it's close. Very close indeed, Lord Belvedere or El Farris. And then it was a photo for third, Sasko, Cinder Win, and behind those, Chapada.
Effectively a bob of the head, Brendan, as they went over the line. What was your take on this race?
Slowly run through the early part, and then on at about the 1200, Michael Poy wound up Sasko and tried to take some sting out of the legs of those behind him. But I think Lord Belvedere probably appreciated it, thought it was a really good ride from Luke Nolan on Al Ferris. Jumped into Sasko's slipstream, came off his back, maybe left in front a little bit too soon. He might have liked Sasko to cart him just a little bit further up, but Ben Mallum was just coasting into the race nicely on Lord Belvedere. Interesting move from Stackhouse to go back to the inside on Chapada at the top of the straight. That probably didn't play into his hands too well, taking it wasn't a neat run, but Sasko was starting to get a little bit wobbly at that stage when he went back underneath him, and that might have been a little bit detrimental to his chances. He wasn't beaten far, but mightn't have helped his cause there. But Al Farris, he really surged again at the 50. He really went to the bottom of the well and put one last kick in, but Lord Belvedere kept coming at him and nabbed him right on the post. Good for Lord Belvedere. He's promised us a bit before he got injured, and then he's back with two really good wins over staying trips. And Al Farris, he was cherry ripe for that yesterday, and he's only just gone on to a really commendable performance from him.
With respect to Chapada, Dino, Dan Stackhouse reported he raced a bit flat, may have come to the end of the preparation, and the Moroney stable indicating that he might have a brief freshen up and maybe aim at some spring races. It looked a race run in almost distinct halves, Dino, where there was a point in the race where you could just tell that Michael Poy was there to crank it up aboard Sasko, and they started to spread out.
Yeah, well, we saw him do that a few weeks ago and do it successfully on Sasko, and he nearly did yesterday. Probably the ground firming up or improving wasn't ideal, but I thought terrific tactics, and he ramped it up from a long way out. And what that did was it made it, even though they'd gone steady, it made it a long gallop and an extended staying test. I think it probably a horse like Chapada, I think 2,000 to about 2,400 max is his limit, and it exposed him a bit yesterday. He might have raced flat, but he might have just been tested by it being a real staying test. He ran, they were a bunch finished. We knew that going in, that there wasn't going to be a lot between them, but it came down to tactics, and Lord Belvedere, he's just in good form, and he was the beneficiary of the track being up, on the upgrade at that stage, and El Faris, very brave.
Small field and tactical, so effectively they may well have all had their chances. But I thought out of the straight the first time, Ben Malham just put himself in the absolute A spot and just worked those around him to make sure that in terms of probably a chess piece, he was just sitting in the lovely spot to be able to move whenever he wanted to.
Yeah, I think so. He was in a spot where that if they went slow, he was able to be in a sprint. And when they went quick, he was the one that was just going to be just right there, tracking El Faris when he wanted to. And, he got all the points there, Ben. But, certainly Michael Poy, I think what I like about Michael's rides on Sasco is he understands the horse's strengths and weaknesses. We saw a couple of weeks ago he had, Starcaster and a few of those take him on a bit early. Well, he couldn't do anything about that. But yesterday, on his terms, he rode Sasco to the best he could on that ground.
One of the most anticipated horses heading to Flemington on finals day was Cherry Tortoni, shooting for three straight in the Taj Rossi Series final.
Vey is just in front of Mystique Falcon as they quicken at the 350. Here's Burley Boy, Alcyone and Super Yulong down the outside from Insaf, and now Cherry Tortoni's winding up as they reach the 200. Super Yulong, Alcyone with on the outer Cherry Tortoni. Cherry Tortoni makes a line of three and goes on by. Johnny Get Angry runs on late, but Cherry Tortoni up to Alcyone just in front, and just one. Cherry Tortoni from Alcyone, who was dogged in second. Johnny Get Angry, a big run for third.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, Dino, we were talking about a lead-up race that both Cherry Tortoni and Alcyone came through and mentioning that maybe Alcyone could bridge the gap a little bit out to 1,600 metres at their next start, and that was definitely right, but Cherry Tortoni still able to prevail. What was your take here?
Yeah, it was a terrific contest and a really interesting, again, tactical race. They've actually sprinted home very hard, thanks to Daily Sectional Times. Cherry Tortoni and Alcyone are the best 400 and 200 of the meeting, so they really did put the foot down late, and whilst it looked like a bit of a struggle, they were actually really running some good time late. And I thought Cherry Tortoni, Billy Egan just has so much faith in the horse. You could just tell that even though coming to the turn, he was just probably awkwardly placed. He knew that when the opportunity came, the horse would sprint hard for him. And even with the weight he did, Alcyone, I thought that Johnny Allen, he was three wide, but he was trying to get his horse into a rhythm and he knew where the favourite was. So it became a really interesting tactical race, and they were the two best horses. And going forward, that they might meet a few more times in the spring, getting towards a race like the Derby. But he's a beauty, Cherry Tortoni. The margin wasn't great, but that last 50, I'm sure that was when the weight kicked in, the weight differential, and he was still too good to prevail.
What did you make of the performance of Johnny Get Angry for Black Type Dennis, as he's known as a horse trainer?
He got a Rising Star nomination yesterday. That was a good effort, first up as a trainer to get a stakes placing. I mean, if you watch the Cherry Tortoni race from a couple of weeks ago, he was the one that he worked a bit in the middle stages yesterday. Totally different sort of run for him, and he was able to get out and really run well. And his closing sectional was good, as was Toys on Fire from the back. But he's a nice horse, Johnny Get Angry. Dennis is always aiming at horses towards the Derby. I'm sure yesterday gave him just that flicker of a hope that dream can become a reality as a trainer as well.
Certainly had the action of a horse that's going to get out over more ground, Brendan, didn't he? Johnny Get Angry. How did you see this race?
Yeah, he might be angry every now and then, but he's a big boy, so you wouldn't want to get on the wrong side of him when he got a little bit angry. He was really good, Johnny Get Angry. Dino's outlined the tactical battle through the early part. Johnny Allen happy to sit three wide to try and get his horse to relax and just coast along nicely, but also he knew exactly where Billy Egan was, and when the runs were coming, he knew he was going to have Cherry Tortoni in somewhat of a pocket coming to the turn, but eventually the runs came the way for Billy Egan. He's just riding in in such good form and patience. And Dean also said the faith in the horse. He sprinted really well, Cherry Tortoni. He's a lovely horse. Alcyone had the pull in the weights. He was really brave. He kept coming to the line. But Cherry Tortoni's just got his measure at the moment. It's not a big measure, but he's got it at as we stand. They're going to have a nice battle, you would think, towards a derby. And you wouldn't have thought as the races maybe get a little bit longer and they get a little bit more seasoned, Johnny Get Angry mightn't be too far off them. But Winner's a nice horse. He had to give away the weight. Second horse, he's going to improve, you would think, and looking forward to their tussles when the weather starts to get a bit warmer.
You referenced Toys on Fire, Dino, and Damien Oliver in the stewards' report just saying that the filly wasn't suited by the slow tempo early in the race because she was on the back of the first two place getters at the turn into the home straight, but she just couldn't sprint with them. But does the data tell you that she was finding the line strongly when she eventually built that momentum?
Absolutely, Warren. Her run was pretty good to run in running fifth. She went from the 28th best 600 of the day to the 9th best 400, 5th best 200. So her closing effort was really good. And, she might be a filly that in the longer races in a few months' time could, certainly be involved, I would imagine.
And you're looking at the finishing sectionals here, and indications are that the form out of this race might well be able to go to that higher level and progress on. You'd be happy to be, I suppose, at least giving these horses their chance in races and a lead in towards the Derby?
Yeah, and often the figures don't really show it with horses towards a Derby at this stage because what you're looking at is trying to teach them to relax and cope with, tempos. Well, this was a very gentle tempo, and those horses, Alcyone's still learning how to pace himself. Cherry Tortoni's got it down pat, so it's good signs going forward because they actually backed off from the 800 to the 400 and then really sprinted. So what we've seen with the first, the three that we've outlined basically is that they've got an ability to sprint and I think they're learning to relax, or certainly two of them are very good at it and Alcyone's getting better. So, I think it's a good race going forward to see how they unfold in the next few months.
Punters were certainly getting the upper hand at Flemington by race three. The challenge, if they were sticking with Persan, was could he stretch out to 2,500 metres in the Mahogany Challenge final?
Sign, seal, deliver. We know it can stay, but Persan moves up on its outside to just about take it. At the 300 metres, they sprint up and Persan goes to the lead from Sign, seal, deliver, then Zofmyra and Johando. But it's Persan at the 150 kicking away. Two lengths, Sign, seal, deliver, and they were followed by Zofmyra. But what a winter this horse is having. And Persan won the Mahogany Challenge easily. 2.5, Sign, seal, deliver, Zofmyra, Johando.
Well, he's had a great campaign, Brendan, and Joel McNeil's developed a terrific association with Persan. What were your thoughts here?
It was just a really good win, and the race set up perfectly for him. I thought Sign, seal, delivered might have tried to put the foot down and try and use, well, not tactics that Sasco used from that far out, but I thought Ollie might have tried to ramp it up a bit further out than he did just before the point of the turn. But all the while, Persan was on his back, and whenever Ollie wanted to go, Jai was just going to follow him. And at the top of the straight, you knew Persan was going to be able to out-sprint Sign, seal, deliver. Nama Dude was battling on. He's probably out of his grade in a race like this. Zofmyra had a nice running behind. I thought Zofmyra did enough. Johando's closed off okay with Epsom Day. They probably weren't suited by the really soft tempo, those horses coming from back in the field. And of the first four in running off the slow tempo, three of them across the line were right up there, albeit they were the only probably three in the market. And the ones that the punters wanted, Zofmyra was specked at a little bit of a price, but Sign, seal, delivered, you know what you're going to get with him. He's a grinder, there's no change-up speed, but Persan just got that little bit of dash that can take the comfort away from Sign, seal, delivered at the back end of a 2,500-metre race like that. He can really change up and sprint away from him. Zofmyra could win a race in the coming weeks, you would think, but Persan, the question was 2,500, and then he had to go up another 3.5 kilos on what he did last time, but he ran into a pretty smart one last time and they beat the rest quite comfortably as well on that occasion, and I think he's just better than that lot.
Dino, you identified Persan very early in this preparation. He's continued to run well. How did you see his performance yesterday?
Well, he got away with it three starts ago, I thought, because he wasn't that well known. He just got in a beautiful spot and then he won two starts back, and then yesterday he was able to get away with it again, just to get into that beautiful spot. I mean, he's got that ability to put himself in a spot, but as Brendan said, the tactics here, no one tried something daring to beat him. It was just roll, you know, they went through the first 1,700 metres about 27 lengths below standard. They didn't really pick it up. And for these are staying horses, so that you'd hope that they're, you know, trying to be you know, actually staying races. There are 600-metre sprints. Persan ran the sixth best last 200 of the meeting. You shouldn't be doing that at the end of 2,500 metres. And Epsom Days and Johan Doe were inside the top 10 as well. It was just a very, just a gentle sprint home, and he's going to beat them every time at that. He's now, you know, I was sort of looking at it this morning, he's probably into a rating range of about 78, 79, so it doesn't put him into, you know, elite categories yet, so he can come back in the spring and maybe build again and you know, say in the autumn he might have a crack at something a bit better. But he's a nice horse person, and what he can do is make his own luck, and he's done it on a lot stronger tempo than yesterday as well.
So if we're trying to assess some of the horses back in the field in terms of their staying prowess, it wasn't a good test yesterday, although a number of staying races can be run at modest tempos, but certainly yesterday wasn't a really good guide in terms of their absolute stamina.
Well, they're just, as you said, Warren, they're not staying tests, and these are horses that are wanting to run distance, but they want to run 1,800 metres slowly and then just 700 metres sprint. So, you know, I think a horse like Epsom Days is actually a genuine stayer. Be nice to see him get in a contest where they actually rolled along at a good speed and see what he could actually do. But at the moment, these races are run, you know, pretty pedestrian, and yesterday was a prime example of that.
We had the formula bet in the bag. The best bet was there. Rammer's Ruffy went around in the sprint series final down the straight over 1,200 metres. Lord Von Costa was the horse with Craig Williams aboard.
400 to go. Tavasan held together from Snitzcraft. I Am Someone, and Great Again charging down the middle. Has just about gone to the front. Back to the inside. Milwaukee. Lord Von Costa needs room. And back behind those horses, High Stranger. Rich Charm still last. Great Again at the 200 in front of I Am Someone. Lord Von Costa getting through. Malibu style. High Stranger. Great Again with Lord Von Costa coming out after it. Lord Von Costa takes Great Again. Malibu style. And Lord Von Costa won it. Defeated Great Again, Malibu style, fourth High Stranger.
He's right throughout the country there, Dino. I got a text message from my son-in-law, Dave, saying thank you, Dean Lester, and I thought I saw the referee come in and try and stop the fight. You're just dominating to this stage. What did you make of this race?
Yeah, well, this was the finest moment, I think, because he'd just been, you could see, beautifully trained for this race, and you spoke to Donna Scott earlier, and I think that what was sort of missed was that he did have a month between runs going into the previous run, and the 2 week back up and 1,200 metres was just going to top him off beautifully for an unsound horse. And you go back to that Creswick series you mentioned that he won as a three-year-old. He was running against Rich Charm. So he's been in this conversation and in this group for a long time. It's just that he's missed a lot of it through injury, and he was able to get a bit of continuity of racing into his legs. And yesterday he reaped the rewards.
Great to see the training effort, and obviously the care that goes into preparing every horse. But when you've got a horse that's had tendon issues and they look like they were flaring again, he's obviously takes a lot of intense training and care to get to the races. So it means a lot to those people, and great that Craig was able to, I suppose, partner him yesterday with what looked like a terrific ride. What was your assessment of how the race panned out?
Yeah, well, I mean, the straight is tricky, you know, where they're going to, you know, aim up at. And after the two-year-old, they did go towards the inside. And this race they did as well. And he got just a nice run in behind them and had that covered up sort of run. Whereas a horse like Rich Charm, who really does relish a quiet ride and cover, he sort of began okay and just didn't get that cover the first half of the race, and it didn't suit him at all. And that he lost his chances, but yeah, it worked out well for Lord Von Costa. Great Again, that's the sort of race for him. He likes to, you know, get there and just really tough it out, and that's exactly what he did yesterday. Ran well. Malibu style returned winner last year in this race and got it back together after a couple of ordinary runs, but the 1,200 and Ollie just giving him a chance to balance up, and he ran very well. And I thought the three-year-old High Stranger, all that shows is that the front page form is very good, because he ran well to in the Creswick final, but he took it to the older horses yesterday and ran really well again.
How do you see this race, Brendan?
Beautiful work from Craig Williams. Had him coiled up in behind, ready to go, and we've seen him do it from up on the speed down the straight at Flemington before he went out for a break back in January. But nice coiled up and then let him come with a run. Great again. Was really solid up on the pace. He was allowed to roll from a fair way out, Malibu style. That's the Malibu style we know. And as Dino outlined, the three-year-old really good. Tavasan, I just don't think he suited down the straight. I am someone got a little bit keen through the early part of the race, which he didn't do last time out, but Lord Von Costa, that run last time out behind I Am Someone, just really topped him off nicely for yesterday.
Don't want to turn this into a This Is Your Life, Dino, but yesterday's Herald Sun contained a terrific article, you know, just outlining a little bit of your life and your journey to where you are today, and following the victory of Ramaz Ruffy and the wins earlier on in the day, probably worth highlighting it. And what did it mean to you to just have something like that put in our leading publication, and just feel that was something that the Herald Sun thought was worth telling the broader community?
Yeah, well, when Hamish McLaughlin, who is a mate of mine, mentioned it a few... Well, he mentioned it a few months ago, and I said, oh, I'm not in probably good enough shape to go through the journey with you when I was a bit crook. But, yeah, we sat down on Monday and had a really long chat, and it's a real honour to have two pages in the Sunday Herald Sun and you know, tell my journey and the interest that it's created is very humbling. You sort of just living it, you don't expect that it creates much interest, but very humbling that people have taken the time to read it and show that they've enjoyed the read.
Just back to the Sprint Series final yesterday, what are the late closing sectionals of Rich Sharm stack up like?
Well, he was 17th best 400, 18th best 200. I think he was getting past horses that were had enough late, but the race structure was all out of whack for him. Mid race, he was too close. Then he was in behind them, and then he got past a few late. He's just got to be that total switch off and one run at them, and that didn't happen yesterday. And I think that was a lot to do with the first half of the race, them going towards the inside. I think he lost his cover pretty early, and just. Yeah, that's the intricacies of Rich Charm, always has been, and he's just got to get that right rhythm, and it didn't happen yesterday.
Paddy Maloney commenting that he thought he was disappointing when placed under pressure, but a post-race veterinary examination for Rich Charm just revealed a slow recovery. So hopefully all's well with Rich Charm for Dieter Clark and the connections who've been so patient in getting him back to the track. Didn't work out for him yesterday, but he was still able to run six in the Sprint Series final down the straight over 1,200 metres. Over 1,400 metres for the Leilani Series final were the mares, and Music Bay showed a glimmer of a return to form at her last start leading into yesterday's performance.
400 to go. Music Bay took Honey Esprit. Then River Jewel, the outside, El Questro. Back behind them, snogging La Tiger Ressa's getting into the clear. And Soaring Eagle, it's Music Bay. 250 metres to go. Two lengths, El Questro, River Jewel, La Tiger Ressa, Soaring Eagle in a line. Music Bay has a big margin. 100 metres to go. Still 2.5. La Tiger Ressa, Soaring Eagle. And it's Music Bay. Music Bay won it really well. Second La Tiger Ressa from Soaring Eagle. Great Duchess then. So you...
Earl Brendan, she looked like she was getting back to something like her early form with her lead-up run into yesterday. How'd you see the Leilani final?
She didn't she? She was rock hard fit there yesterday, sat in behind Honey Esprit when it was time to go. She went and she was off and gone before the rest of them could get out into the clear and come on. La Tigresse has run well, as has Soaring Eagle, Great Duchess. So You Win probably didn't have a great deal of luck and could have easily beaten those three horses around her home. But by the time they were just starting to get interested, Music Bay was already off with it, and she was able to sustain that to the line. Good ride from Craig Williams. She's rock hard and fit now, and she deserved to get her name on the board this time in. La Tigresa, as mentioned, ran well. Great Duchess, too far back. The race was gone by the time she was hitting top gear. El Questro didn't have the best of luck, 3 and 4 wide around the outside of the field. But a good ride from Craig on a rock-fit mare.
How'd you see this race, Dino?
Yeah, they went a pretty good speed early, Warren, for the conditions. Honey Esprit about 3 lengths above standard the first 600, and The one that was with her was Music Bay, and it was a tale of where they finished. Music Bay was tough enough to absorb that speed and keep going, and Honey Esprit obviously getting to the back end of it. She's run last, but Music Bay, I just wondered, you know, she's Group 2 winner at her best, and we know, you know, wasn't far off the really good fillies in her three-year-old season in the Thousand Guineas, and I just wondered where she was at in her preparation and career. And I know she's going to the Broodmare Sale, but they got a great result out of her yesterday. And she was, I think that's where she showed her class, was that she could ride that speed and absorb the pressure and keep going. La Tigressa, there was commentary about, you know, if she'd been close on the run. Well, if you backed her, that's what you were going to get. You know that that's her racing style, is back in the field and come with one run. And that's what she did. She couldn't peg back Music Bay. That's Music Bay's asset, is that she can ride a speed. Soaring Eagles having a really good preparation. She was big odds when she ran well here at last start. And again yesterday, terrific, as Brenda mentioned. Great Duchess. The barrier, you know, if she goes forward, I think she'd have been the hunted and been in trouble. She went back. She ran on well. So there's probably still petrol in the tank for her. And So You Swing, she's building up to a win. She just needs that, I think, absolute better ground. She has won on soft ground, but the improving track helped her yesterday, and if she gets onto a bit better ground again, she'll win pretty soon.
Something from the stewards report, El Questro just pulling up with a poor recovery and requires a veterinary certificate prior to racing again. A few via the SMS, Dino, 0416905052, if you'd like to contribute. First of all, it is a regular, and just pleased at the way that the track played yesterday. Steve from Bendigo, wasn't it great to have a track with no bias? Perfect soft 5, 6, all got their chance. Top to see. Love the runs of the top three in the two-year-old mile. Your take, Dino, on how the track played yesterday?
Yep, perfect. Great to see them in the straight races. And I had a gut feeling they might, certainly in the two-year-old, go towards the inside, because that outside has copped a fair bit of work the last few weeks. And, you know, Liam provided the rail true with, you know, 11 metres at the last meeting. So they were on, you know, good fresh ground, and it played sensationally, and it does very much nearly every time at Flemington, and that that's credit to Liam and his team, and they got it right again yesterday.
How'd you see it yesterday, Brendan?
Yeah, track played perfectly. Everyone got their chance. Nice not to have to worry about bias or anything like that when you're going through them throughout the day.
Couple also from Rod from Strathmore, a regular. Couple of races we've already covered, and interesting in your take on this, Dino and Brendan. Cherry Tortoni has a great turn of foot. Doesn't shape as a Derby horse to me. Run on, sprinter, miler, his best future. I suppose we're still early in his career. He's only had the three starts, and if you head towards a race, Dino, like I suppose the Caulfield Guineas, that could be a fork in the road. But in terms of his Derby profile at this stage, how do you see that?
Yeah, it's always hard to sort of you know, anticipate who goes towards the Derby. But what he's got, I think he can relax on any tempo. That's his greatest asset. And, yes, he can sprint. And I think, yeah, look, ultimately he might be a terrific miler as, you know, as career goes on. But maybe the Derby's something that the Tayton Niverson team want to rectify from getting beaten by Second Coming with Tie the Knot a long time ago. So maybe that's the sort of thing that yeah, stimulates owners, and they, you know, I'd be sort of putting him on that path. And yeah, we saw, you know, a race was named after yesterday. Mahogany won two Derbies, but he was a great sprinter, and not that he's anywhere near that level, Cherry Tortoni, but that profile can change as they get older.
They could have named any race on the program after Mahogany yesterday, Brendan. He was so versatile. What's your thoughts on Cherry Tortoni in terms of what Rod was outlining in terms of potential Derby?
Yeah, might be sprinter miler down the track, but I think they're going to take advantage of his asset of how well he relaxes in his races on any tempo. The Derby can be a stop-start run that can go fast, it can go slow, and at least, you know, with Cherry Tortoni that he's going to just drop his head and be comfortable on any tempo. I think that might be the reason probably why they're trying to angle towards a Derby and take advantage that, you know, he's going to settle well enough to run a trip.
And Brendan, I'll get your take on this first. Rod from Strathmore had a thought on I Am Someone. Seems a bit suspect at the end of 1,200 metres, back to 1,100 metres and on wetter ground. Should be winning again. How do you see that comment?
I think he just might have overcooked it early on in the race. If he can relax, he'll get 1200 no problems. But I think it's more between the ears than maybe the soft ground might help him out a little bit. But I think it's all to do with his racing manners. If he can relax and settle through the first part of his races like he did when he won over the 1100 metres, and Declan Bates was quite confident that he'd get 1200 on the back of that win in his post-race interview there a couple of weeks ago. I think it's just a matter of how well he relaxes.
How do you see the profile of I Am Someone, Dean?
Yeah, I think it's a softer ground. I think the improving ground and getting into a rhythm. We know that often the straight races aren't run at a strong tempo. So 1,000, 1,100 down the straight. We've seen it with a horse like Prezzato. When he gets in the thousands, he's absolutely dynamic. And I Am Someone, I think, would be in a similar boat. Maybe the next couple of runs might be around a turn at 1,200 and it'd be a different sort of scenario. But, it's just getting him to relax and get the right sort of scenario.
Walking flying is absolutely flying for the Lindsay Park operation. Jamie Mott aboard yesterday. She had 60 kilos, taking on the boys in the Silver Bowl final. She gave them a spanking.
Into the straight, 400 metres to go. It's Garen Piero from Smoke Bomb. Stretto still there, hanging tough, and goes to the front. So it's Stretto leading, followed by a wall of them. Grinzinger Alley's getting out towards the inside from Dance Ready. Walking Flying's trying to dart through. Stretto at the 200 metres. Grinzinger Alley, Walking Flying back to the inside, followed by Dance Ready, Maserati Bay, and Salika from the back. Walking Flying takes the lead at the 100. Walking Flying punched out from Grinzinger Alley. Stretto, Walking Flying has won it. Grinzinger Alley second, Stretto third. Now for fourth, there was a heap of them.
Picturised there by Maddie Hill trying to dart through. And when that gap came, Dino, she did dart through.
She did indeed. It was a sensational ride by Jamie Mott because he was always going to be just buried away. And I think a couple of things. I think even though she's won on the wet, her best figures are definitely on improving ground. And she proved that again yesterday. And the fact that she was able to get that running when she just needed it at the right time. Grinzinger Ali and Stretto, I thought they were great chances, and they looked really good chances until she burst through and was too good Walking Flying. It was a good win. I think these connections probably could say they could have won this race with one of two horses. They owned Walking Flying, the winner, and Over the Sky, who was desperately unlucky and is just a really nice horse. He went to the line, only got clear really late, and I was very impressed with his run going forward Over the Sky.
How'd you see this race, Brendan?
Yeah, first and second able to come through nearer the inside, which is a little bit of a help when you're not out there covering ground. But Jamie Mott just had to be patient and wait for the runs. Grinzinger Alley through nearer the inside as well was there to win the race. But Walking Flying just a little bit better late. Stretto did an enormous job. Over the Sky, the real flashing light. What was he, the bit of the century, I think, heading towards his run at Pakenham, where he's a little bit all over the place. And the blinkers really ironed him out there yesterday. Thought Cabinho was okay. No change. I didn't think it was a bad run. He was under pressure and looked like he was going to drop out on the backup. He grounded out well enough, and if you're on Alphaville, just forget Alphaville ever went around. Got onto the back of those horses, Cabinho and the like, that were trying to come with runs out wider, Salika, but just couldn't get clear. But Walking Flying, deserved win. She's well and truly going through her grades nicely now after taking on some better horses earlier on in the year in Adelaide.
Smoke Bomb, who dominated a race at Moonee Valley the start before, Stewards report, led and weakened from the 350-metre mark. And Jamie Carr reported the gelding was on the wrong leg for the entire race and felt uncomfortable in its action. But nothing from a post-race veteran examination, so the Stewards will follow up with the stable for Smoke Bomb, Dino. So just probably put a pin through that run because, in general, he'd been reliable going into it, but maybe he's come to close to the end of that campaign.
Yeah, interesting. His high-pressure race wins were at 1,400 at Cranbourne, and yesterday he went out at a good speed, at six lengths above standard the first 800, so they were really rocking along. And but you could tell he was never changing lead leg, and he just did look very awkward for a horse coming from Moonee Valley to Flemington. You'd think he'd sort of relish that big sweeping bend, but he didn't get into his action at all. And two fillies that haven't had much luck of late. Salika was very wide, and Barbie's Fox, well, she just seems like she's condemned to white draws every time she runs, and had top weight in a wide run. She had no chance given what was going on there.
over the skies early enough in the campaign also, so you would think that he's likely to be a horse that could press on with the blinkers going applied yesterday and no luck, might be one to follow for the future in the short term.
Yeah, and especially, I haven't had a look at the calendar, but if there was a 2,000-metre three-year-old race coming up, he's had the two runs at the 1,600 and you know, getting through the line yesterday after, you know, in a pretty high-pressure race, he's, I think, ready to go. And as Brendan mentioned, Stretto, terrific run because he just didn't get any cover at any stage and probably landed in front a bit early when the leaders couldn't go on. And no change. There is going to be a race for him. I wonder if it's 1,400 and a bit better draw. He's been drawing wide or being on biased tracks yesterday. He ran well, but he, just whether he needs you know, just back a little bit in trip.
More love for you, Dino, via the SMS. Great interview in the paper. Thanks for the recent tips. Help getting me through COVID. And does Dean know the Ramaruffi is the talking point of all the work lunchrooms on Friday? Craig from Keilor. So you're dominating the lunchrooms, you're dominating the airwaves, Dino, and more importantly, you're tipping winners, which is why you're in that state. But moving on from Walking Flying, who dominated the Silver Bowl final, Sir Coney was able to dominate the Winter Championship final. Terrific training performance from Nick Ryan there, well ridden by Dan Steckhouse. We got to the last, Danny O'Brien and Damien Oliver combining with Cordia.
Splendor on the grass is stoking up from Windfall. Ocean Miss on the fence, then Diaquin Paul's Regret, and Cordilla is launching down the outside. Quantum Mechanic took the front at the 250 from Splendor on the grass, a length and a half away, and Cordilla's charging home. Quantum Mechanic at the 100 metres needs the line. Cordilla's chasing her down. Cordilla takes Quantum Mechanic, then Splendor on the grass, Paul's Regret, but Cordilla for Damien Oliver won the last. Quantum Mechanic second, and third Paul's Regret from Karame and Splendor.
Ollie just saving it, Brendan, for that last little bit so often as he does. You know that with a couple of hundred metres to go, Ollie's still got some petrol in the tank.
Yeah, well, dominant, a word thrown around before that race. She certainly was dominant, Cordilla, very similar to the way she went about her business winning at Geelong. She had to make the step up in grey, but just a real confident Ollie sort of ride when he gets into that sort of just flicking them down the shoulder and keeping them, building their momentum. You know, that there's another kick left in the tank for when he wants it, and she was really good there yesterday. Quantum Mechanic did a good job in the breeze. Paul's Regret wide, pulled and still able to finish off. I thought she ran well. Kurame continues to race well at Flemington. She finished off well down the outside. Splendor on the grass, on the back up, ridden a little bit closer to the speed there yesterday. Today covered a little bit of ground, battled on okay after the big run at Caulfield. I thought Diaquin was okay, but Cordilla, she was really, really superior to them yesterday.
How'd you assess this race, Dave?
Yeah, it was. It's a pretty sight when Ollie, you know, with 200 to go, you just know he's got that little bit more up his sleeve. And with Cordilla, that was, you know, how she was going to have to win that race. You know, just come into that three wide train and then build into the race, and she's doing it very well. I like that she's got a nice turn of foot at the end of her races, and she won well. Quantum Mechanic with the blinkers on raced ran well. Paul's Regret, as Brendan mentioned, covered ground, was good. Kurame's running well. She's around the mark in this grade, and Splendor on the grass here, maybe the backup and a bit close from the run was against her. And Diaquin, she was one that probably the track upgrade was against. She would have probably preferred it for her chances to have rained all day, and that didn't occur, obviously.
What might lie ahead for some of these fillies who are just, I suppose a few of them are in this race and they've still got benchmarks where they're competitive in restricted races, even at midweek level, a few of them probably a little bit higher than that. But anything from this race that you think there might be a race for them sometime soon?
Yeah, I think, you know, depending on what they're eligible for with super Vobis bonuses and that, you'll see a couple of them, you know, a few of them run probably two more times before they turn four in the next 3 weeks or so. I feel like Cordilla, I wonder if, you know, Warren, she'd be on a path similar to your mare, My Pendant, and have a little go at the, you know, a Let's Elope or something like that in the early part of spring with added fitness.
Anything out of this race, Brendan, that you're looking forward to for the future?
You'd think Paul's Regret could pop up and win another race. Kurame might be too far away in another race in this sort of grade at Flemington, but the winner, she's a nice horse.
Worth noting too, just from a jockey point of view here in Victoria, Jess Eaton, Dino, just taking the opportunity to head over to South Australia and try and get her claim utilised over there. So competitive here in Victoria. She did the isolation and winners for Leon McDonald, getting noticed by Tony and Kelvin McAvoy. So good double for Jess Eaton yesterday and making her mark early in South Australia.
Yeah, terrific. And I think probably using a bit of the blueprint of what Kayla Crowther did, got the experience over here, went back and then finished outriding her claim. And Jess is off to a flyer and you know, will be much sought after because you know, she's got a good depth of experience and ridden plenty of winners here. But it'll be an absolute bonus with that claim that she's got in Adelaide.
Finals day at Flemington, it lived up to the expectations and a number of performances that might see horses go to a higher level in the months ahead. We'll take a break on Correct Weight. We'll come back and we'll have a look at the Epsom Derby meeting overnight in the UK.
Correct Weight, brought to you by your favourite stall at your local tap. Now open. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
The Russian Emperor still serpentine has a big lead at the 2 furlong pole in the Derby. It's 10 lengths to Khalifa Sat. Oran the Bean, Kamiko in fourth. Then Mogul down the outside, Russian Emperor. Serpentine with a furlong and a half to last. It's still 8 lengths clear in the Derby. Khalifa Sat in second place. Time running out for the closers. And Serpentine still 7 lengths clear from in second, Khalifa Sat.
Quality racing in the UK overnight continues with the appearance of Enable at Sandown in the Coral Eclipse overnight tonight, Dino. And I don't think it was a surprise that Serpentine went to the front. Might have been a surprise that he kept going.
Yeah, I've got to admit, last Saturday night I backed him to win a maiden at the Curra and he won like that, Serpentine. And a week later he's a Group 1 winner. It's quite extraordinary. And he just went out in front and, as the caller mentioned, great ride. And gee, he had them chasing from a long way out and just kept going. It was quite a spectacular race. It didn't change much. 1, 2, 3, 4 in the run, pretty much that's how it was. The favourite, English King, he was following Mogul into the race, who didn't take him anywhere, and Frankie had to sort of duck and weave late, but he was a long way off the eventual winner.
Dominic Byrne on social media compared it to Brennan Abdullah's ride aboard La Squetti Spirit in the Oaks, Dino.
Yeah, well, not dissimilar, and you know, sort of knowing that you know, they have big strings of horses, you could have been forgiven for thinking he was the pacemaker, and he just kept going.
How'd you see the Derby, Brendan?
Yeah, thought he might have been the pacemaker. He was there and rocking them along, but gee, it's a long way home down the straight there at Epsom, but when you're 12 in front coming around Tattenham Corner, you're going to take some running down, and he just kept on powering through the line. He showed no signs of stopping. It was a tremendous effort.
Obviously, some Australian interest there, Dino, with the Laurie Macri ownership in the progeny of Atlantic Jewel, but I suppose we just let those horses' careers unfold rather than look for the next start for them, because obviously a lot's targeted at the Derby at this stage of their career.
Yeah, I just wonder if the vagaries of the Epsom Downs track, he's a bit of an awkward going sort of horse. Just wonder if that saw him absolutely at his best last night. But it's been a different year over there. It's been, you know, obviously the Derby was put back a month, but you know, all the qualifying races have been very close together, and there wouldn't be many Epsom Derby winners that have raced 7 days out. And that certainly shows how adaptable Aidan O'Brien is to what's been put in front of them in this remarkable year.
Love and Frankly Darling were the two horses that dominated the Oaks market. This is how it panned out.
With the white face on the outside of Ennis Diamond, Frankly Darling trying to breach the gap, but at the moment Love is powering away. Love 3 to 4 lengths clear from Ennis Diamond. Frankly Darling is staying on to challenge for the place, but this is Love 5 to 6 lengths clear from Ennis Diamond. Frankly Darling and the Oaks is a procession. Love won the Guineas, wins the Oaks, conquers all. Love beat Ennis Diamond by 7 sparkling.
Love conquers all there. The caller working beautifully, Brendan. And this time there was two horses applying pressure to each other on the speed, and it became a race of attrition.
Yeah, they set it up nicely, didn't they, for Love to charge over the back. And she was brutal in the way she put them away. She rolled back down to the rail, but there was no stopping her through the line. Frankie's ride, Frankly Darling, she tried hard, but Love really relishing the quick tempo of the race. She was able to slingshot off the back, and she was really dominant.
How'd you see this race, Dino?
Yeah, well, they ran quicker time than the Derby, Warren. So often the Oaks and the Derby are, they are traditionally on different days, so it's hard to line them up. But they're only a couple of hours apart, and Love ran the little bit quicker time, and she was just dynamic. And as she was in her previous win at Newmarket, she's a very, very good filly, and I love the way she put them away late.
Being our international spy, anything else you want to highlight out of this meeting, or in particular looking ahead to the Sandown meeting with Enable, the star tonight?
Yeah, well, that will be terrific to see Enable in action, and horses that we know like Magic Wand involved as well. So but Enable will be the star tonight. But not getting much sleep at the moment, Warren. Watching all these races, it's a crammed schedule. We've got the Prix de Jockey Club, the French Derby tonight as well. So that'll be plenty of interest there as well.
And as much as you can sort of watch the replays, etc., when it sort of starts to kick in conveniently at the end of a footy game, it just sort of draws you into that next segment. It's a bit like binge-watching sport when the footy just transcends into some good racing in the UK, Dino.
That's very true, Warren. They're becoming long Saturday nights.
Terrific days racing around Australia yesterday, highlighted by finals day at Flemington. Time for the boys' take on runs of the day and horses to follow.
Let's wrap up the Correct Weight Racing Review with the run of the day and the horses to follow.
And we'll start with you, Dino, after such a stellar day yesterday, continuing the ripper form in recent times and over an extended period of time.
Warren, I thought Ciccone was the run of the day on pace. I know there was a few hard luck stories behind him, but he was tremendous. And mentioned Over the Sky just before, I think this horse has got a decent future going forward. It might even take him 6 to 12 months to do it, but he'll win a race in the short term anyway.
Put in a carbon copy for me, Ciccone, run of the day, Over the Sky, the horse to follow. Dino, thanks for all your efforts during the week. I know the Breakfast Crew and everyone that listens to the wide variety of shows across the station has been thrilled with the results, and you should be justifiably proud. And now you've just got to go back, do it all again next week, because you're only as good as your last week.
Exactly right, Warren. That's now old news. We've got to find some more winners.
Great work, Dino. Thanks for your help this morning. Brendan Delaney, run of the day and horse to follow before you take us through Sunday Central.